Are you seeing your prayers move mountains? Over the course of my life, God has been teaching me how to pray, what to pray, and some of the most crucial elements of prayer that have radically changed my life forever. This is Evangelist Caleb Wampler, and I've decided to put together this into a 7-day free devotional in the hopes that Christians worldwide will see the breakthroughs as I have. To download this free devotional, go to kingdomencounters.us/free. Again, kingdomencounters.us/free.
Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. Today, we're going to talk to Jim Garlow. I'm sure you've heard of him. He's a longtime friend who wrote the article that went viral more than any other we've ever done. It was about why to vote for Donald Trump in 2016 when you really didn't like him. And 4.2 million. It may have made a difference in the outcome of that very close election. But, you know, whatever battle there was in 2016, it seems like it's worse now. We're seeing totalitarianism spring up around the world. And how does the church respond? Well, thankfully, we have leaders like Jim Garlow, but sadly, too many leaders are sitting on the sidelines. But there's a conference coming up very, very soon that you need to know about. So stay tuned as I talk to my good friend, Jim Garlow.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, everyone. And Jim, it's so good to talk to you. And I know this conference is going to be long past by the time a lot of people, you know, listen to this podcast or read the article that I'll do with it. But I want to, let's start by talking about the conference. And for those of you who may have missed it, you know, just because they didn't know about it and time passes, will they be able to find out later what happened?
Yes, absolutely. They can go to wellversedworld.org. That's verses with a D on the end. Wellversedworld.org. And they can follow up with future conference. There'll be a place to click on that and they'll be able to participate in it because it's a special conference. It's coming up in just a few days.
So go ahead and tell me about it, kind of the who, what, when, where, and why.
Okay. It's located in Arlington, Virginia, right across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. We're in the Marriott Hotel there right by the Pentagon. It's July 20 and 21, and then an optional day, the 22nd, with tours. But July 20 and 21, it's called the Future Conference, wellversedworld.org, and they can scroll down and get the information. What it is, day one teaches you how to respond biblically and scripturally to every political or governmental issue. And Steve, you're aware, I wrote a book several years ago called Wellversed, where we covered exactly that. Responses. But now we're going to have a group of speakers. They're TED Talks. They're 10 minutes each, 45 speakers. It's a lot. You, by the way, helped support us in our first Future Conference, the only one we did before, which was 7 years ago here in San Diego with 56 speakers. And you were one of our profound supporters of that, for which I'm immensely grateful. Well, this one is in Arlington, Virginia. And the first day, how to respond biblically and scripturally to every political or governmental issue. That's day one, a host of speakers. Then day two is called Soaring Like an Albatross. An albatross is a bird in Australia that can fly through a tsunami, stay above it, and fly, stay off, not even have to land, for 5 to 6 years. Pretty astounding. So we as believers need to know how to create an alternative or parallel universe in the culture in which we find ourselves being marginalized and canceled, fired from jobs, etc. And so we have people talk, experts in a host of areas. Example. In Canada, Trudeau, Prime Minister Trudeau, suspended the Constitution and froze bank accounts of anybody who supported in any way, given $50 or given a sandwich to a trucker in the perfectly legal, peaceful truckers' protest of Canada. We have heard of numbers of accounts here in this country of people waking up in the morning, including Nick Vujicic, who's one of our speakers. He's a man with no arms and no legs who speaks all over the world. In April 2019.
What did they have against him?
Well, without revealing too much that I don't know if he'd want to share, I'll just put it this way. They didn't like his views, the same reason they're canceling everybody else. On a certain core issue, you can guess what that core issue is. And so they canceled him. And I've not been able to document this, but I've heard that up to as many as 350 different organizations have had their funds frozen by their bankers who did not like the positions they took. And so how do you avoid that? You would probably know Kevin Freeman well. Kevin Freeman is going to be one of our key speakers on. Nick Vujicic will be there and speak on this. How do you keep your accounts from being frozen? Then we'll talk about the issue of healthcare. What if your healthcare provider says, hey, if you don't get the government coerced jab, we're going to cut you off or charge you more? Well, what do you do? What are your options? What if your doctor is one of the 25,000 frontline doctors who is challenging the government on some of their views, and so they lose their certification, their capacity, their license? What are your options then? How do you keep your doctor? We're going to have people training in every one of these areas. What about education? What if your kids are coerced to learn things you don't want them to be hearing? Or what if you have to create your own school? And I'm not talking about just homeschooling elementary or high school. I'm talking, what if you have to create your own college? You're going to have a person who's an expert on that, of all things. But what if you would have to flee? Perish the thought. We don't want that to happen. If you had to flee, where would you go and how would you survive? Now, I call this today cancellation insurance. You have house insurance, you hope you don't use it. You have car insurance, you hope you don't need it. You have life insurance, I hope you don't need it. But the fact is, I would rather have insurance and not need it than wish I had it and not have it. And so this is cancellation insurance. I hope everything they learn on day two, they'll never need. However, indicators are across the world right now with a rapid rise of totalitarian authoritarianism in almost every country. And we look what's happened since March of 2020 to the present. We don't recognize our nation and a host of other countries, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, major parts of Western Europe. We can't believe Netherlands, what last weekend, the farmers in the Netherlands, what they're putting them through, the land being bought up by Bill Gates, the houses being bought up by BlackRock. What is going on in our world? Is there a radical change coming? Well, potentially. And I would rather have information that I don't need than not have information that I desperately need. This conference is not about fear. It's about confidence. In fact, I've saved time after every speaker for I have a pastor on site who is brilliant in hearing the word of the Lord and speaking to the contemporary situation. He'll bring a word from the Lord of encouragement. Our worship leader, Alma Rivera, out of New York City, Jürgen Matesius, a pastor out of San Diego. They are going to be there to bring a word from the Lord after each speaker for a minute or two or three, so we keep our eyes on the Lord and our confidence high. This is not a fear-mongering confidence. This is a confidence-breeding institution, because knowledge breeds confidence, and knowledge is power, and the future belongs to those who prepare for it. So it causes us to be able to work through every conceivable issue you can think about. What do I do if this rapid rise in totalitarian authoritarianism continues at its present trajectory? What are my options? What do I do? So that, again, it's wellversedworld.org, wellversedworld.org. Scroll down. You'll see a picture of Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann and Matt Staver, the attorney. They're involved with us. Click on that, and it'll bring up all this information on the future conference at the Crystal Gateway Marriott Hotel right by the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, July 20 and 21. That's a Wednesday and Thursday. Then the next day, Friday, the 22nd, is very different.
And that's 2022, because these podcasts will be on for several years. And, you know, these issues won't go away. And you've got an organization, and you partner with a lot of other people that, you know, including these speakers that you've rattled off and so forth. I mean, this is a battle. But you're helping people to be equipped, insurance, as you say. And you've been battling the forces of evil for as long as I've known you, as have many others. But, you know, I admire you so much because in California, there was an amendment to the state constitution defining marriage between one man and one woman. They said it would never pass. And there were a group of pastors who rallied people. And it did pass, and I don't live in California. I was sort of involved because I actually made phone calls to pastors I knew in California to try to get them involved. And it seemed to me that you are absolutely at the tip of the spear. You know, sadly, that became moot in 2015 when the Supreme Court made the ruling about same-sex marriage. But Tell us a little bit about that experience, because it was pretty brutal, but you were victorious at the ballot box.
I got involved governmentally or politically at age 9, August the 13th of my 9th year. I remember right where I was standing. I'm a Kansas farm kid, wheat farm, corn farm from Kansas. I live in San Diego now, and I've lived here for 25 years, but I grew up I lived in Dallas, Fort Worth, pastured there, Oklahoma City. So I come from that part of the country originally, but I was a Kansas farm kid at age 9. I watched the Democratic National Convention in that year, August the 13th, and a governmental anointing came upon me. Now, I didn't know what to call it then, of course, not until decades later. I thought I might run for office, and the Lord said to me one day, you're not going to run for office, you're to encourage those to do. So I feel like I've been involved in 100 campaigns. I have no idea how many I've been involved with, but a lot. And the whole issue is this. People know the Bible speaks to the personal issues of life, family issues, church issues, but they do not realize the Bible speaks with clarity to issues of civil governance. God established government. He established the whole notion of nations. And to the extent a government will go by the biblical principles of civil governance, to that same extent will reduce human pain, suffering, and poverty. Now let's move here to the California situation, which you referred to. 2008, 14 words were added originally to the family code in the year 2000, but we saw they were about to throw that out. So we had to organize, get a ton of names on petitions to get it on the ballot to try to defend marriage in California and add it as a constitutional amendment, which we succeeded. We were told we would never succeed. We started out at 38% in the field poll, and they said no amendment in California history had ever started below 50 and ever won. However, we organized pastors here in the state. The Catholics organized. We organized with them. The Mormons also wanted to defend marriage, so a triumvirate was formed. There, and we work together to defend the institution of marriage. The 14 words are only marriage between a man and a woman are valid, recognized in the state of California. That's it. And so we put it in, and we won by miraculously by 52.3%. The same night that Florida, you won by a larger margin that same night on the same issue. The same night Arizona won. 31 states voted that marriage is a man and a woman. Only 3 ever voted to the contrary. And the result was Obergefell case in 2015 overthrew all that. However, Article 1, Section 7.5 of the California Constitution still has those 14 words in it. They could have formed an appellate 3.3 judge panel and removed it. They never did do that. It's still there. All we need is a godly governor or one with integrity, a godly attorney general or one with integrity, and a case that could go to the Supreme Court, or we'd have a Supreme Court that knows the Constitution instead of creating something out of nothing called so-called same-sex marriage. If we just had people that would go by the Constitution, this could be reestablished. I know I sound like the eternal optimist, but I'm not giving up. It's still in our Constitution. Those words are still there. 7 million people voted for it in California, more than voted against it. And so I hang on to there. All we need is one great revival, and we could reestablish. And we could stop supporting that for which God destroyed Sodom and start encouraging the most sacred institution that God ever designed, marriage between a man and a woman.
Well, the Supreme Court has made up other rights, and everyone, of course, knows that Roe v. Wade was finally struck down. And Clarence Thomas wrote an opinion that said that the court needed to look at some other of these issues and mentioned that. There are a lot of people that said that abortion would never be struck down, yet it was. And so we can just hope that that happens. Of course, it being struck down also created a great deal of, controversy, in some cases some violence. And it did not end abortion. What it did was it said that there was no constitutional right. The word abortion does not appear in the Constitution, nor the concept. Now it's, of course, going to be a battle at 50 different states, but at least it's not a part of our Constitution, so to speak. So there is hope. And the reason I brought this up was because I just so admire what you've done. You know, we've been friends through Jack Hayford. In fact, the first time I ever heard of you was through Jack Hayford, who's just a big admirer of yours. And then over the years, we've interacted at many different levels, many different times, and many different ways. And I'm just happy to call attention to this conference and your book, Well-Versed, and all the various things that you're doing. As we wrap up, this podcast. Tell us about your work in Israel and also in the United Nations.
You know, COVID has really altered a lot, so we're having to rebuild some of it. But we were pre-COVID, we were having weekly Bible studies in the United Nations. Now, the building is still, at this time, is still not even open normally, and many people are still working remotely, so it has been quite a challenge. But we had weekly Bible studies in the United Nations with employees, and then we have met privately. We're not a large ministry. We're a small ministry, well-versed or well-versedworld.org. We're small, but we have had the privilege of meeting privately with 93 of the 193 ambassadors at the United Nations to establish relations. And the goal is to try to bring biblical principles of governance, civil governance. I'll give you an example. I was meeting with an ambassador of a small Muslim country. It's not a well-known country. It's a small one. And he knew I was Christian. I obviously knew he was Muslim, and his country is overwhelmingly Muslim, almost no Christians. And I said, sir, you have 40% of your people who are unemployed. That is extremely painful for your country. He says, yes, it is. I said, I'm deeply concerned about that. I said, we come with biblical principles of governance, even to the point of how it speaks to the issues of a nation and how a nation's economic patterns flow. And so we have a desire see that address. I said, can I have the privilege of praying for you and your nation? He didn't turn me down. He was happy. His people were hurting. He was so happy. In fact, he insisted on showing me around the office and all the pictures of his country. He was so proud. His country is beautiful. Looks like the Alps of Switzerland. Just gorgeous. But biblical principles of governance can be brought to anyone who has an open heart. I've had the privilege of meeting with 10 heads of state, presidents or prime ministers. I don't have the clout or connection to do it. I've had to work through other people who've made that possible for me. I never went with small groups of us. I met with various individuals, meet with members of Congress or Parliament, wherever we can. We had a Bible study every week going in the members of Congress before COVID. Now, post-COVID, we're now doing periodic things as opposed to the weekly. It's been a challenge getting in the buildings there again. But our goal is to bring simply the truth of Scripture, God's plan, to every governmental leader we possibly can, and to influence the people who elect them how to think so scriptural, so biblical, so they take Jesus in the voting booth, they take biblical truths in their heart into the voting booth, because to the extent, I'm going to repeat myself what I said earlier, to the extent a government will follow biblical principles of governance, to that extent, human suffering and pain and poverty will be dramatically decreased.
Boy, that's so well said, and you have such a grasp on this, and I want to say again how much I admire you, and people need to support what you're doing. I hope that people will share this podcast with others. I can't hope that we'll get 4.2 million shares like before. I mean, that was just a real surprise to everyone. And, you know, I know that it's...
Well, you blessed me. Let me just say you blessed me because of that. You believed it. I sent that to you just on a whim. I sent you my article, and you picked up on it. You put it. You're the one that drove it to 4.2 million. And Donald Trump read that, saw it as a candidate. And as a result, I ended up, because of you, I ended up on the Faith Advisory Board during the 26th campaign, and then on the Faith Initiatives Leaders Group during his whole presidency, about 35, 40, I was 50, whatever the number was. And then have continued. You're the one that launched me into that, thanks to you, my friend.
Well, as in everything, we need to give God the glory. That was never in the back of our minds. But, you know, here we had a candidate like Hillary Clinton that, you know, we don't have time to talk about all the things she's done that are negative and how her views are so against the Bible in so many ways. And Donald Trump really backed our values, yet he irritated people. There were a lot of people that didn't like him. You know, he'd been married 3 times and, you know, there's a whole litany of things where he was not the ideal evangelical candidate, so to speak. And you, as a pastor, just kind of unfolded on how the person had to vote, not on the personality, but on the principles. And you talked about how, even as a pastor, you would rather deal with someone like Donald Trump, this, you know, brusque and a little bit rude, but teachable, whereas Hillary Clinton was anything but. And I think that it really changed a lot of people's minds who needed I call it In fact, as I've described it in conversation with people over years, I said it was an apologetic of why to vote for Donald Trump, even if you didn't like his personality. And so it was the right thing at the right time, and you're so articulate. And, you know, you did send it to me. I need to give the credit to my wife, who hates getting any publicity at all. She's so private. But I forwarded to her with one word. I said, interesting. And she said, we have got to put this online. And so I worked with you. We tweaked it a little bit. It was actually a Facebook post, and you comments about Facebook or whatever. We just took that out. No big deal. It was a very good opinion piece. And so thank you for writing it. And it was just a God thing. It was and we give glory to God. And the election was very, very close, as I said earlier in the podcast. We can only speculate how God uses it, but it shows that one person can make a difference. And we're just hoping that this conference and all the different initiatives that Well-Versed has and your books and everything that you do, that God will use them in a very special way. So as we close out, I'll give you the last word and tell people again how to participate in this conference that's coming up in a very short time, and then also how they can find out about it after the fact.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Wellversedworld.org. That versed has a D on the end. Wellversedworld.org. Scroll down until they see my picture and my wife and Michelle Buckman and attorney Matt Staver. Click on that, and that'll just open up the entire future conference with all 45 speakers. It's going to be in Arlington, Virginia, July 20 and 21 of the year 2022, this year. And they can either watch online from the comfort of their living room, or we hope they'll come. It's not too late to sign up and to come. We have the first day is the whole issue of how to respond biblically to every issue, not just abortion and marriage, though they're foundational, but how do you respond biblically to welfare, health care, minimum wage, Social Security? And my book, who covers all this, which covers 30 copies, will be there as well. And then the next day, how do you keep from being canceled in our current cancel culture? How do you stay ahead of all those kind of government intrusions or big tech or big pharma or big whatever that's trying to control and ruin your life? How do you stay ahead of that? So day two will expose you to a lot of experts. Now, most of the speakers only have 10 minutes. It's TED Talks. So it gets you exposed to them and their constructs and what they can bring so you can follow up on them. I would contend, this is a pretty strong statement, I know, but what you're going to learn there could save your life. It just has, I don't mean to be melodramatic, but it could actually save your life or your loved ones. Somebody who prepares for what's to come doesn't do there because there's some kind of a wacko prepper. I'm not that. I just simply want, I know it's a loving, caring act to care for me, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and for my loved ones and my neighbors around me. It's a Christ-honoring thing to do. So wise is the person who's prepared for the various kind of challenges that could come our direction in the next day. So wellversedworld.org, future conference, July 2021 of the year 2022, Arlington, Virginia. On the third day, there are trips, tours. We're going to do a lecture on uncanceling George Washington, uncanceling Thomas Jefferson, and there's trips by bus. They can take to Monticello, Jefferson's home, and to Mount Vernon, George Washington's home, or they can choose a trip to Museum of the Bible. Those are options on day three of the conference. And Steve, thank you so much for the privilege of getting to be on with you today.
And thank you for being on my podcast. I'll close by encouraging people to forward this podcast to others on iTunes or the other platforms. Subscribe to the podcast, like it. That helps us a little bit. And tune in again for another episode of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.